There are also many Greek tragedies from the 5th century BC that dealt with episodes from the Trojan War. Some of the still surviving tragedies show this. For instance, Euripides' Trojan Women, Aeschylus's Oresteia that narrates the aftermath of the war for the family of Agamemnon. Many lost tragedies, many tragedies that no longer exist, also dealt with Trojan War themes. So Virgil could draw upon Greek tragedy to find out information about the Trojan War. And Virgil and his readers had access to other literary sources as well that no longer survive. So when Virgil set out to write the Aeneid, he had a vast body of Greek literary material to draw upon for various episodes in the war and in the events immediately following the war. However, the details of Aeneas's escape from Troy and his subsequent adventures were far from fixed. In the Iliad, Aeneas appears as a character, but he's a fairly minor character, and there's not much detail given about him. This means that Virgil, and for that matter other Roman authors as well before Virgil, had great leeway to mold the story of Aeneas to his own specifications, pretty much to send Aeneas where he wanted him to go on his wanderings, to have Aeneas meet whomever Virgil wanted him to meet, and to mold the story to do what Virgil wanted it to do for the purposes of the Aeneid. The idea that Aeneas was the ancestor of the Roman race has its origins in the Iliad itself, in a scene where Poseidon prophesies that Aeneas will survive the sack of Troy and will found a new city elsewhere. Now, in the Iliad, that's a very vague prophecy. That's about all Poseidon says. He says that Achilles can't kill Aeneas because Aeneas is destined to survive and found another city elsewhere. As early as the 5th century BC, Greek historians had identified Aeneas's new city with Rome, which makes perfect sense from the Greek point of view. We refer to the Trojan War as a myth. The Greeks themselves believed that it had actually happened. Now, obviously, as time went on, many educated Greeks and Romans later probably thought that many of the details Homer gave were incorrect, but the war itself was taken as a fact of history, as something that had actually happened in the remote past. Therefore, when Poseidon says in the Iliad that Aeneas is going to survive and found a city, it's taken as a given that, in fact, he did. And it makes sense if you are a 5th century Greek historian looking around for a city that might be the one Aeneas founded. This is right when Rome really starts to come into prominence as an up-and-coming player on the Mediterranean scene. That's probably the city Aeneas founded. There's got to be one somewhere, and Rome seems to fit the bill. Various versions about how exactly Rome had come into existence, however, developed as Rome grew in power and importance. The idea that Aeneas was the ultimate ancestor of the Roman race seems to have been pretty well fixed fairly early on. But who exactly founded the city, when exactly they founded it, how many generations they were removed from Aeneas, these details were malleable for rather a surprisingly long time. Now, when Virgil set out to write the Aeneid, he clearly assumes that his audience is very, very familiar with the overall Trojan War story, with the main background legend of the Trojan War, because the Aeneid clearly alludes to all sorts of events and episodes in the Trojan War myth that are not part of its own narrative. It alludes to them but doesn't ever explain them. So at this point, I want to run very quickly through the basic outline of the Trojan War story that Virgil seems to have assumed his audience would know without needing to be told. The first very important event, which is referred to within the first 20 lines of the Aeneid, is the so-called Judgment of Paris. The Judgment of Paris refers to the human Paris, a prince of Troy, having to judge a beauty contest between three goddesses. As it happens, at the wedding feast of the mortal man Peleus and the sea goddess Thetis, who were the parents of the great hero Achilles, the goddess Eris, goddess of strife, discord, quarrelsomeness, who had not been invited to the wedding feast, threw down a golden apple onto the banquet table to get revenge for not having been invited. She threw down a golden apple which was inscribed to the fairest, to the most beautiful.